Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, we're going to jump out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline right now. It's Friday. We're going to talk to Mike Florio from ProFootballTalk.com. Mike, Urban Meyer found the perfect spot. It's in Jacksonville, I guess, right? That's it.
Well, yeah, we'll see how perfect it is. I think he needs to take a page out of the Nick Saban autobiography and ask himself whether or not a great college coach who can stack the deck every year with a dozen first rounders is going to thrive when he only gets one. But, you know, we'll see. So I was on the air earlier today with Peter King on PFT Live, and he made a point that I hadn't thought about in this context, but I'm keenly aware of, because I've got family that lives in Columbus, Ohio. And the fan base there for Ohio State is as rabid, if not more rabid, than any NFL fan base. And the objective every year is to win a national championship. It's not just talk. That's the goal. And if you lose more than one game, you're done. That's it. Your objective is squashed. It's gone. It's over. So you can lose 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games at the NFL level and still be alive. So maybe there will be less torment, not more torment, for Urban Meyer as an NFL coach, because where he was, it's as much pressure, if not more pressure, than any coach at any level ever feels.
Mike, I want to ask you about the other hiring yesterday, Robert Saleh, of defensive coordinator for the San Francisco 49ers to the Jets. And with that, they said – some of the ESPN reports were that Sam Darnold, that they already have discussed keeping Sam Darnold. Are they just throwing that out there, or do you think they've already made up their mind what they're going to do with Sam Darnold at this point?
Well, it's a lot like what's going on in Miami with Tua. You don't wear it on your sleeve at this point. There are strategic reasons for keeping your cards close to the vest, for saying you're going to keep the guy even if you're thinking about trading him. You want to maximize your trade value, and also – in the event that you can't come up with a better alternative, you don't want to undermine the relationship by saying, yeah, man, we really want to get rid of this guy, and then you can't get rid of him, and you have to love the one you're with. So I think that has a lot to do with it. The thing that I find fascinating and also concerning about the Saleh hire, now, look, I think he's got charisma. I think he could be exactly what they need in that media market. I'm excited to see what he can do. But if they're successful at all, and if they keep Sam Darnold, and they bring an offensive coordinator who fixes Sam Darnold, it's going to be Mike LaFleur, the brother of Matt LaFleur, and he's already got that LaFleur out there that's going to make him attractive. If Sam Darnold plays well, if the Jets do well, Mike LaFleur is going to be gone, and they're going to have another offensive coordinator to come in and continue whatever it is that they've done with Sam Darnold. And, you know, we've seen quarterbacks have a different offensive coordinator every year, and it keeps them from being the best quarterback they can be and have the consistency we're looking for. And that's why in this day and age in the NFL, I would always go offensive head coach. Look at Sean Payton and Drew Brees. They've been working together since 2006 because the Saints made Sean Payton the head coach. If he'd been the offensive coordinator, he'd have been long gone. So I just think that when you're thinking about coaches, if you're thinking about coaches and quarterbacks and consistency, if your team's going to be good, your offensive coordinator is going to be gone. Not because he was let go like Chan Gailey, but because he was bumped up to a head coach somewhere else.
Mike, you hit on the Tua thing here real quickly, too, with that third overall pick, and people wonder what's going to happen. We've had a lot of people come on that been very critical of Tua. I'm just curious. Flores and Chris Greer came out yesterday, reaffirmed support, excited. He made a lot of improvement last year. Is that part of what you were talking about? Same with the Jets? Or is this just to make sure? How are you reading into this? Are they definitely not looking at a quarterback?
These are things you must say. What's your alternative? We really have doubts about this guy. Man, we may have screwed that up. We should have taken Justin Herbert. Yeah. They've got to rally around the guy they have for a variety of reasons, one of which is you want to have leverage if there are trade opportunities.
True.
Number two, you don't want people to know what you're thinking with that third overall pick in the draft. And, you know, we may have gone over this last week. I've talked about it a few times recently. The idea that you need to do the full workup on every quarterback out there when you hold the third overall pick in the draft, because you want to be able to engage in an intelligent, meaningful negotiation with a team that may want to jump up to three to get a quarterback. You're not trading the third overall pick at that point. You're trading a player. So you need to know more about the player to properly value what he's worth in trade.
Deshaun Watson, what's the situation there in Houston with him? I know he's back from vacation. They showed pictures of him in a basketball game or something, but it looks like he's back now. What's happening there, you think?
Well, what's happening is it sure seems like they've spent a lot of time this week trying to repair the damage that was done to the relationship with Deshaun Watson when, number one, they hired Nick Caserio to be the GM without consulting him to the level that they had promised him they would. And number two, he recommended the hiring of Eric Bieniemy as the next head coach after a strong endorsement from Patrick Mahomes, the Chiefs quarterback, and they didn't even request an interview with Bieniemy last week when they could talk to him. Now they finally have. Now they've requested the interview. They got to wait until after the Chiefs are done because they blew their window during the bye. And, first they got to get the guy on the phone. And once they get the guy on the phone, because he wouldn't call him back, they have to get an idea of where he is. Has he crossed in his mind that bridge that cannot be uncrossed? Is he mentally done with the Houston Texans? Will they trade him if he demands a trade? There's a lot still to be determined, but I think the next big move is what do they do with the head coach? But you know what? Before I would hire a head coach aimed at placating Deshaun Watson, I want to be damn sure Deshaun Watson's still going to play for me if I hire the head coach he wants.
How many teams would be interested in Deshaun Watson? We go back and forth on this all the time. What do you think the number would be?
Hey guys, I think it's easier to list the teams that wouldn't be.
Yeah.
Would not be. The Chiefs, the Chargers, the Bengals, and I was going to say the Packers, but Aaron Rodgers is 37. I mean, I look. Here's what I think the Texans need to do if they decide to trade Deshaun Watson if he demands a trade. He has a no-trade clause, and that doesn't mean he can't be traded. That only means he can only be traded to the place that he agrees to be traded to. So you go to Deshaun Watson and you say, write down on this piece of paper a list of all the teams that you would play for, however many it is, 5, 7, 10, 2, 3, whatever. Then you go to those teams and you say, make us your best offer. And you basically have an auction for the Deshaun Watson contract. That's what it would be, and that's what they should do. You know, there's been the report, and I think it was couched as informed speculation that Watson would accept the trade to Miami.
Right.
Well, why wouldn't he? Right? But the question is, can they pull that off? And, you know, there's other teams out there where you look at the quarterback position, you look at what else they have, and it's a no-brainer for Watson to say, yeah, I'd love to play there because around me I'd have more help and a coaching staff that would help me. And I can be playing on divisional round weekend. You got three guys that were taken in the first round of the 2018 draft at quarterback who are playing this weekend. You got one from 2017. Deshaun Watson surely thinks there should be two from 2017.
Right.
And if he was in a different situation, he'd be playing right now.
Mike, what about the Chargers job out there? We've heard about a bunch, including Arthur Smith this morning, possibly going to Atlanta or signing with Atlanta. But I haven't heard a lot about that Chargers job and who's kind of out there and who might be the fit for them.
Yeah, it's kind of strange to me because that's the best job.
Right,
and, you know, if I'm Arthur Smith, I'm waiting to see what happens with that job before I take the Falcons job. All due respect to the Falcons, why the hell would anybody want that job? I guess it's too late to say all due respect when you say, well, really? It's a salary cap nightmare. I mean, think about it. Salary cap nightmare.
Yep.
What are you going to do with Matt Ryan? What are you going to do with Julio Jones? You've got Rich McKay there as the not the general manager, but kind of like the super general manager. You don't know what his role really is. I don't know how much power and influence he has. I think he has as much as he wants. He's basically the surrogate owner, but he's also been a general manager. I mean, it's a strange, strange situation for whoever takes that job and the expectations there. And there's still like this weird stink of 28-3 in the organization. I would not want that job, especially if I thought I could get the Chargers job. And yeah, there really isn't like a clear cut. This is the guy that's taking the Chargers job. And,
right.
You know, they may be waiting for Brian Daboll. They may be waiting for Eric Bieniemy.
Right.
But I think this is a great opportunity for a coach to join at the hip with Justin Herbert early in his career and have 15 years of success if you can get the most out of Herbert. And again, offensive coach. You don't hire a defensive coach because your offensive coordinator is going to be gone within a year or two if Justin Herbert continues to play like he is.
Mike, the Russell Wilson thing's pretty interesting. Wants to be involved in the Seahawks offensive coordinator hiring. I know we're in a new time. We're seeing it more in professional sports where the stars want to be involved with who they're going to be working with. What were your thoughts when you heard that? I'm just curious.
I'm not surprised by it because I've been very familiar with the backstory regarding Russell Wilson and the Seahawks. There's tension there. And that whole let Russ cook thing that we saw early in the season, the full saying was let Russ cook or he's going to find a new kitchen. And, the Russell Wilson camp is of the belief that he can be Patrick Mahomes. He can be Aaron Rodgers. He can be a great quarterback if you give him a great offense. Now, Ron Schottenheimer did great things early in the year. They did a bad job of reacting to the things that defenses did to counter the let Russ cook offense. But with Pete Carroll making it clear that the pendulum is going to swing back to running the ball, Pete Carroll, an old school defensive coach, you know, with Russell Wilson saying what he said, and we played it on our show today, it's great. You can get away with almost anything if you have a smile on your face as you say it. And if you look at the words, I mean, it's controversial. He wants to be involved in who the next offensive coordinator is going to be. It affects his career. He's got 3 years left under contract. And think about it this way from the team's perspective. They're currently paying $35 million a year. That was top of the market when he got the deal. Before that, his contract was top of the market when it was 22, 23. His agent, and his agent can be very ruthless because he has only one client. He's the Tom Hagen of football agents. He's a baseball agent who's got one football client. So he doesn't have to worry about broader relationships and upsetting people and I got to get a job for my fringe guy that can't get a job anywhere. All he has to worry about are the interests of us, Russell Wilson. And he drives a hard bargain every time. So if the Seahawks swing back to a run-heavy offense and we're 2 years out from right now, and it's time to negotiate a new deal for Russell Wilson, and Mark Rogers, his agent, wants $45 to $50 million a year, and the Seahawks say, why the hell are we going to pay that to a guy who's handing the ball off and is just, you know, he's supporting a great defense and a great running game, that's when the rubber meets the road, and I think that's when Seattle does something with Russell Wilson. There was talk a couple of years ago of them dangling Russell Wilson in a trade with the Browns for the first overall pick in the draft. Obviously it didn't happen, but I'm telling you they're going to, if their offense goes in the direction Pete Carroll wants it to go, I say 2025, by week one of 2025, Russell Wilson's going to be gone. And I think it may happen sooner than that.
Wow. Mike, what's your must see game of the week this week for the four games this weekend? Ravens Bills on your, on NBC. Looks like it might be that. I know Joe loves that one. What about Bucks Saints and the possibility of maybe the last time you get to see one of those quarterbacks play?
Well, am I contractually obligated to say Ravens Bills since it's the NFC game?
No, I threw it out there for you. You didn't have to do that. I did it for you.
I think it's I think without question, it's Saints Buccaneers. Because you're talking about two of the great quarterbacks of all time. You got Tom Brady in what if they lose will be the final game of his first crack at trying to get a Super Bowl win away from Bill Belichick. You've got Drew Brees in what would be most likely the last game of his career if the Saints lose to the Buccaneers. The Saints beat the Bucs twice this year. Week 1 and Week 9 were a long time ago. Antonio Brown is in game shape now, according to Bruce Arians. And the last time Antonio Brown played in the Superdome, he had 14 catches for 185 yards and two touchdowns in what was his last game for the Steelers. So that, to me, is the game. That's the one to watch. And but Ravens-Bills also very compelling. All of the games have the potential to be great. Ravens-Bills, a battle of two of the 2018 first-round quarterbacks. That should be a great game. I think the Ravens will win. And the Buccaneers-Saints should be a great one. I think the Bucs will win. I'm taking two of the road teams this weekend.
Wow. Well, listen, man, don't tell me quarterbacks aren't important, as we've been talking about since I've known you, Mike. We always talk about getting the right quarterback, because six of the eight quarterbacks, first-rounders, and just about all the good ones are playing in these final four games that we're down to. So you're right. Should be a lot of fun. Mike, thank you, buddy. Really appreciate it.
See you guys. Have a good weekend.
All right, Mike Florio from ProFootballTalk.com joining us on the Toyota of Hollywood.
Oh, man. Ravens at the Bills.
I'm biting a little bit. I think your game might be the game, man.
Every time we have Brandon Lane come on, like, he he ain't buying it.
No.
I don't know. I want to see how much. Yeah. No, Buffalo's offensive line, not great run blocking.
Right.
Really good pass protection. I mean, they block the you-know-what out us.
Ravens are going to blitz the heck.
Yeah, they're going to get after it, man. They're not going to allow those guys all day to run around and freelance. But, again, Allen gets outside the pocket and makes some crazy throws. I mean, he is – my God, is he improved. Jeez, man, that's crazy. All right, we got to go to break. We'll jump back on the machine, the text machine, 305-567-0560. Back in a moment.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.